So innovations often come out of really irritating experiences, you know, like not being able to get to where you need to go quickly or efficiently. And one afternoon in 1977, that happened to Richard Branson in Puerto Rico.
I was 27 years old. I had a beautiful lady waiting for me in the Virgin Islands, and the airline that I was flying on decided they didn't have enough passengers, so they decided to delay the flight till the next morning. And I was upset, desperate to get to this lady. And I went to the back of the airport, I rented a plane, got a blackboard, just for a joke, wrote Virgin Airlines, since I was going to the Virgin Islands, went out to all the passengers who'd been bumped and filled my first plane. And we ended up getting to the BVI that night, and it got me thinking. Next day, I rang up Boeing and said, have you got any secondhand 747s for sale?
You know, you made this move that a lot of people advised you was crazy. And in fact...
This is TED curator Chris Anderson in conversation with Richard on the TED stage.
I had a conversation with one of the investment bankers who at the time when you basically sold your Virgin Records and invested heavily in Virgin Atlantic, and his view was that you were trading, you know, the world's fourth biggest record company for the 25th biggest airline, and that you were out of your mind. Why did you do that?
Well, I think that there's a very thin dividing line between success and failure, and I think if you start a business without financial backing, you're likely to go the wrong side of that dividing line. And I just love learning, and I'm incredibly inquisitive, and I love taking on the status quo and trying to turn it upside down. So I've seen life as one long learning process, and if I see if I fly on somebody else's airline and find the experience is not a pleasant one, which it wasn't 21 years ago, then I think, well, you know, maybe I can create the kind of airline that I'd like to fly on.
And the kind of airline that had personal video players and libraries and a standing bar 20 years before any other airline did the same thing. But aside from those things, the thing about flying is that it's not that different than it was 60 years ago. So Richard Branson plans to change that. And just like Bertrand Piccard, the seed was planted on a particular July day in 1969.
Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed. Roger.
It was watching the moon landing on a little black and white television set.
You're looking good here.
With my sisters and parents. And that was the most inspirational moment of those years.
Did you think at that moment that we'll all someday go there? I'll go there. We'll be up there.
Oh, absolutely felt that. And I think, you know, millions of people all over the world assumed that one day we would be able to go to the moon.
It has a stark beauty all its own. It's like much of the high desert of the United States.
And that was inspirational. And you know, many, many, many years later, only 300 or 400 people had actually been into space. And it was obvious that governments weren't that interested in letting us experience the wonders of space. And then we decided, you know, let's get out there and try to find an engineer or somewhere in the world who could build us a spaceship.
So that's exactly what Richard Branson did.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Release.
What you're hearing right now is actual audio from one of the first ever test flights of Spaceship Two.
7, 8 seconds.
It's a new kind of spacecraft that was built by Virgin Galactic, which is Richard's commercial spaceflight company.
5 seconds to go.
And it works like this. There's a giant rocket ship that blasts you and 5 other passengers to an altitude of 60,000 feet, at which point the smaller capsule that you're inside... detaches.
Release.
And then there's another rocket blast.
Armed. Fire.
And then you're pressed back into your seat at 3,000 miles per hour. And you're taken thousands of feet higher.
That's sweet here.
Into space.
Bring it down. Down by. Feather up.
When the rocket stops, you will be in space. There'll be complete silence. You will unbuckle, you will float around, just gently lift up and hit the roof, and you'll be able to turn somersaults, and you'll be able to look out of big windows that we've built back at our beautiful Earth, and you'll be one of only 500 people who've been to space, and you will have had, the ride of a lifetime.
Richard Branson has already sold over 700 tickets for these future flights, each one costing $250,000. And once those 700 people go up, that'll be more than all the people who've ever been to space, period. How is this going to change how we travel around the world in the future?
Well, it'll take us a while, but the 300 engineers that are working on this project are already drawing up designs for transcontinental aeroplanes. I mean, on purpose, we built our spaceship shaped as an aeroplane rather than shaped as a rocket, which is the conventional way. And in that way, we can build them bigger and bigger. And one day, we hope to be able to transport you orbitally, i.e. at 18,000 miles an hour from, say, New York to Australia. The maximum amount of time that people should actually spend traveling is, roughly 40 minutes, because
wow.
At 18,000 miles an hour, you can get to pretty well anywhere on Earth in about 40 minutes. But equally, I think that through space travel, we may well be able to reduce the carbon footprint to a negligible carbon footprint in traveling people around the world by, getting them out of the Earth's atmosphere and orbitally around the world. Anyway, all Virgin flights. we'll see whether the others catch us up.
So this is really probably going to be the next big innovation in flight, right? Like now, we've got obviously jet travel, and the Concorde was around for a while, but it's more or less the same amount of time to get from New York to Tokyo. But the big change is going to be when you've got aircraft that will launch into space and then come back down.
Yes, I mean, that's going to be the radical change, and then it's up to our engineers and technicians to overcome the technological challenge, then to make sure that it is environmentally safe. Maybe the most iconic picture ever, which has done more, I think, for the environmental movement than almost any other picture, was the picture shot from the moon back off the Earth. And I think that picture stimulated so many of us to want to, protect our oceans, to protect the species in our oceans, to protect the forests, to protect the species in our forests. And if we can actually get thousands of people to have that experience, I think that will be enormously beneficial to the world. It's what sort of science fiction's made of. You'll be able to just sit back and look out of your window at the Earth as you're traveling around it, and it's going to be absolutely breathtaking.
That's Richard Branson. In late May, Virgin Galactic was cleared for takeoff by the FAA. Richard plans to be on that first flight to space with both of his kids later this year. He's a pretty fascinating guy, so you should check out his full interview on the TED Stage with Chris Anderson at TED.com.
Round, round, get around, I get around, yeah, get around, round, round, I get around, I get around.
Hey, thanks for listening to our show, Getting There. If you missed any of it, or you want to hear more, or you want to find out more about who was on it, check out ted.npr.org. You can also find many more TED Talks at ted.com, and you can download this program through iTunes or through the NPR smartphone app. Our program was produced by Jeff Rogers, Brent Bachman, Megan Kane, Neva Grant, and Sanaz Meshkinpour, with help from Rund Abdel Fattah, Daniel Shukin, Portia Robertson-Migas, and Eric Newsom. Thanks to our partners at TED, Chris Anderson, June Cohen, Darren Triff, and Janet Lee. I'm Guy Raz. You've been listening to Ideas Worth Spreading on the TED Radio Hour from NPR.